Beloved, the Apostle Paul continues this letter to the Romans with a beautiful assurance and promise that there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There is no terror in the grave for the true believer. There is no condemnation. That word condemnation reminded me of what Jesus, how he defined that in John chapter 3, when he was talking with Nicodemus. He says in John chapter 3, verse 18, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he that believed hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." This condemnation is that light has come into the world and men preferred darkness and wanted to hide and wanted to be concealed. They wanted to put on a mask or a face, just like we heard this morning of the Pharisees, and their particular way of doing that was to put a front of religion and practice and holding themselves up higher than others. But inwardly, Jesus spoke to them much of condemnation because they received the light of the world into their midst, and Jesus walked among them. He was well known to them, but they chose to reject him. And that is the condemnation. But the word here in Romans chapter 8 says that those who are in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. In other words, as Jesus' word becomes known to us, and the word in its light and its power reveals our errors, reveals God's will, we do not prefer the light, but we come to the light. We love the light. And there is no condemnation. There's no seeking for two different lives to those that are in Christ Jesus. There's only one master, because Jesus said we can only serve one, either God or mammon, the things of the flesh, the things of the money and monetary gain. We can only pick one. And if we're truly in Christ, we only have one master. We only have one Lord. And so there isn't a double-minded man. Double-minded man, the Bible says, is unstable in all of his ways. Because in some ways he wants to put his trust in the Lord, but in some he really relies on his own self or his own resources. And on these two different foundations, they can't stay together, and the man falls. But those who are in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. Because our Lord, he's seated at the right hand of God. And he is one of victory over sin and over death. And he is not condemned. And so if our head, if our master, if the one who we identify with in baptism into his death, and we will also join with him in his resurrection and the hope of eternal life. That's our the beauty of the promise that is in Christ Jesus. And we see in Romans, in John chapter 3, the necessity to believe upon him. And we see also in the Gospel of John that I'm looking for a verse here. Where Jesus says that if any man serve me, there will my servant be also. And that's a beautiful thing. If one would humble themselves and serve the Lord, there's also a promise that we'll be with him where he is. We'll join with him where there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. And what does it mean to be in Christ Jesus? That is the important question. What does it mean to be in unity with him? What does it mean to be aligned with him? What does it mean to be one with Christ? The one who says, follow me and take up your cross. Follow me to a place where there's death. But we see in Jesus that there wasn't just a death, that there was a rising again, and there was a victory. And Jesus, he wins a victory over sin in multiple ways. He won a victory over sin in keeping God's law perfectly throughout his entire life. And he won a victory over sin. He won a victory over sin. A sinful man condemned him to die and sent him to be executed. And man's goal and man's desire to quiet this humble teacher was frustrated and was overcome. And Jesus won a victory over those sinful men. And now his message and the proclamation of the gospel and his death is now extended to us. That we could see that he has paid a price and he has shed his blood so that we also who have sinned, we also who were would have been joining with the crowd saying, crucify him, crucify him, by the way that we have lived our life and have denied him. He also lovingly looks out into the crowd, into your eyes, and as he whispers the word, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. Do we also see that he's winning a victory for us? He's winning a victory for us. And there's great riches in what he has offered, and he offers that to you. He offers that victorious power of overcoming sin and overcoming death. And those riches he is extending his hands to you. Will you take it? That's the question. Jesus asked Nicodemus the same thing. And we testify that we've seen and that we've heard, but you don't receive our witness. Jesus says that he always did the things that please his Father. And he went to the cross. Do you believe that? Do you believe that he rose again? Do you believe that that is the only way of salvation? Do you believe that that is the only way of victory? Then when you and I are in the time of temptation, we have an opportunity to listen to that message and say, will I follow Jesus? Will I die to self? Or will the flesh get a little bit bigger? Will it grow out of proportion of where it belongs and overtake my soul and determine my course in life and my direction? We can choose to believe in the salvation that Jesus provides in his cross, or we can choose to say, that's not for me. I'll find another way. And you'll look and you'll try throughout all of the things that the world offers to calm your conscience, to calm your fears, to make you feel better, to encourage you, to lift you up. But that's not where you're going to find a life of no condemnation. That's where the Pharisees got it wrong. They were trying to lift up themselves and their status before God. But Jesus calls us, come down. Come down to where he is. Come down in humility. Come down and wash somebody's feet. Nobody wants to go there. But that's the path. That's the path to God's grace, in which there is no condemnation. And Jesus has opened up a door for us to enter into that way of salvation. And now it's for us to keep it, to stand fast and to stand firm in what Jesus Christ has taught, and to live this life here below to the honor and glory of God. There is a freedom that Jesus Christ has given that is spoken of in verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And then he says again about a law. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In our nation, we have a law. And the law is the way that society is ordered to achieve a certain ends, certain benefits, to achieve certain priorities. You don't want somebody to steal from you. You want things to be fair in dealing. Well, there's certain laws that govern that so that that kind of environment can flourish. Well, there's a law. There's a law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. There is a way of ordering life and our existence as humans that brings out the benefit and the goodness of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It is the royal law. It is to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. And it continues on from there to touch from the highest points of our life down to the lowest, least significant points of our life that God even cares about, that he pays attention to, that he's watching over, that he loves, and that he wants to redeem, and that he wants to bring into this place, in this kingdom of no condemnation, this kingdom that is fully exposed to the light, where there's not somebody spending time in darkness and in light part-time. There is a law. There's a way of ordering and governing life that brings out the values and the glory of Christ Jesus. And that law, that way of ordering, has made, Paul says, made me free from the law of sin and death. You know, there was a law that Apostle Paul was following, the Mosaic law. At least he said he was following it. We know that there was many excesses and exaggerations and omissions. But that could not free him from the law of sin and death. See, there's a law. There's a way of ordering things that prioritizes and maintains an environment of sin and of death. There's certain things that you can do that exalt sin. There's certain attitudes and motivations that we can harbor within our lives and between each other that exalts sin and brings forth death and corruption. And there's a law about that. You do these certain things. It's a way of ordering life, and it brings out the priorities of sin. And sometimes those priorities of sin are kind of pleasant to the flesh because they raise us up, they make us feel good, but they end in death. Apostle Paul in the previous chapter was speaking of this conflict that he had, wanting to do what was right, wanting to do what things were according to the law, which the law was good and right, but finding that he had no power. But the ordering that is according to the spirit of life in Christ Jesus brings freedom. That ordering prioritizes faith, prioritizes humility. It prioritizes the truth that we cannot of ourselves bring forth anything that is worthy of God's exalted name, but that we have been fashioned in such a way that we need the Lord. And when we lean upon him, when we're seeking him, when we're humbling ourselves and calling upon him for his grace, he provides. And Christ is magnified. So there's a law. There's a way of ordering things. He talks about the spirit of life in Christ Jesus and the law of sin and death. And then he speaks of another law. This is speaking of the law of Moses. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. In the previous chapter, he says that the law was good. And he's not saying anything bad about the law of God. But there were certain things that it could do and it could not do. And the weakness came through our flesh. Because the law of Moses specified what was right, what was wrong. It established an order. But the Jews and all mankind were stiff-necked. We harden our hearts. And so knowledge of the truth doesn't change the heart. Only Christ can do that. Only the one who laid down his life for you and me. Only by embracing him and being at one with him and in unity with him can that stubborn heart and that hard heart, and it's beautiful in the Old Testament, it talks about in a very illustrative way about how the Jews hardened their necks and they turned their shoulders away from the Lord. I just think of the kids when they don't want to listen, how they just don't want to listen, and how that's man's hard heart that brought about our Savior's misery so that he could show us, here's how you let go. Here's how you surrender. The flesh can die. The flesh can die. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Christ condemned sin in the flesh. He won a victory in the flesh over sin. And he is the only one that has done that perfectly. And there's only one way for us to find victory in his way. And that is the way of the cross. That is the way of denying self. That is the way of salvation. But he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The Jews had found, and the Hebrews rather, had found that they sought to be righteous by observing the law. They thought that they would take their lives and raise it up a few steps to draw closer to God. But they forgot that the law had been given. They had been given these constraints. They had been given this way of ordering their society. Jesus says, because of the hardness of your heart, Moses gave you these commandments, thus and so. Because the hardness of your heart. The keeping of the law and the keeping of the commandments for the Jews was not a means to righteousness. It was because of the hardness of their heart. There's no pride that could be had in these people to follow these things, because it had been given not as a means to righteousness, but as a means to restrain the hardness of their heart. But for those who are in Christ Jesus, for those who have recognized their need for a Savior, for those whose hearts have been touched and been softened by the fact that God has loved us so much that he has sent his only begotten Son, and believe upon him, we now love him. He's able to work with us because we are not adversaries where he puts a law in front of us, he puts this challenge in front of us, and we feel like we need to overcome it, and then we find we fail. But when we come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us, it softens our hearts, it makes us humble. And then God is able to pour in his grace, his mercy, and his help and change us such that we love the Lord. And so our hearts are no longer stiff-necked, and our necks are not hardened, and our shoulders are not turning away. We're not trying to hide something in the dark. We see, God loves me, and the way that he has for me is good. And I'll embrace and hold Christ Jesus and what he has done for me on the cross as my way of salvation, the one that I embrace. And so for those that love the Lord, because the Lord has first loved us, there is something very new that takes place, a following of the Spirit and also a residency of the Spirit within our hearts and lives, which is unique and distinct from what has taken place in the law and in the old covenant. And he says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, because we're not running away from the Lord. We long for him because we know that he is our only way of salvation and help. And we come to him with all of our needs and all of our weaknesses, with all of our inabilities, and we find that his grace is able to help us in our time of need. His grace is able to help us in our time of temptation. We find that he meets all of our needs, and that we are content and at peace. There's no more struggle because he's provided all that we need. So our walk or our manner of life, we're not debtors to live after the flesh. There's nothing more that the flesh could offer us that Christ in his blessings does not offer far more to us. And so we seek to serve the Spirit. We seek to be obedient. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Does the flesh, the interests of the flesh, Do they overcome? Do they overcome? If so, there is a destination for that. And to be, they that are after the flesh, those that are following the things, those that are pursuing the flesh, their minds will be on the flesh. But to be carnally minded leads to death. And so we need to be careful. What are we pursuing? What are we following after? Who are we following after? The Lord has given us blessing of the promise in Christ Jesus. Where could more content be given than Lord Jesus Christ with thee? Where there is no condemnation, where there's light, where we don't have to pretend between two different lives, but there's freedom and there's all the help that we need, all the kindness and love of God. Just follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. Believe this truth. Put it into practice. And you'll find that fellowship of his suffering that is sweeter than anything that this world can offer. And we'll find the Spirit of God, to order our lives, to guide us, to change our minds. And this is a something that will the Lord will be working on us day by day. As we yield to him, there's more. There's more to give up. There's more that we could give. There's more that we can, ways that we can serve. And to be spiritually minded, to have that mind that's in heaven, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. That's life and peace. Something that the world does not have. And something that the world cannot take away unless we give it. Because the door is always open for the flesh. The flesh is always craving something. But Jesus' example teaches us, seek those things that are above. Seek the things that please the Father. And when the flesh wants to take more than its share, if it wants to be exaggerated in its influence, then that needs to die. That needs to cut off. And we can enter into life when we obey those calls of God's Spirit to listen to him, put away those things that need to be put away, because there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Amen.